The wonderful thing about coming to a church like this is that you have free course to preach what God lays on your heart. And, you know, it, just like this morning's message, you don't preach those messages because, and I'm not the type of person to see something wrong in a church. That's what's nice about when you travel. You know, unless it's something in a standard aspect of something where you walk in, you're like, oh, wow. But you don't ever have things in mind, but what's great is when you come, you can do it. And, you know, the thing about preaching is, and about coming to church is, sometimes you just need reminded of some things, just to be encouraged of some things, and just to continue to plow it out. And, you know, I believe that's what today is, the messages that, if you think about it, this morning was the importance of the power of prayer, the church praying, and then, you know, we talked about holding the line, keeping there, and desiring to do something for the Lord, and to standing that ground, holding that ground, and for the morning session, but for the morning service. But turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. And thank you, church, for being faithful, being in your place on a Sunday night, on Father's Day. You know, it's part of my message tonight, but, you know, if you think about it, we live in a day and era where things keep us from church, and church ought to keep us from things.
Right. Amen.
Sundays become the free day because Saturdays are so full of things anymore, and sports and so many different things, and Sundays become the day of family reunions, and, you know, it's my day, but it's the Lord's day, so... But let's keep that in mind. But if we're pick up in verse 8 tonight, familiar story about Moses, and they were going to battle here with Amalek and the Amalekites. And we're pick up in verse 8, just read down through a couple verses here. And I don't know if there's any ringing or not with that. It seemed like earlier when I got into that, it got a big echo, so I'll push that away a little bit. But the Bible says in Exodus chapter 17, verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God. To the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And I want to speak to you on this thought tonight. Let's lighten the load. Let's lighten the load. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity, God, to open up your word. And God, just to share some things, some reminders, God, as we serve, continue to press forward for you. And God, I pray that you would clear out my heart, my mind tonight, God, and anything that would be of me, God, fill me with your spirit. Use me here tonight, God. I pray that your dear people, Lord, would have tender hearts and tender minds, God, to what you have for them here this evening. I pray, God, we'd take the things that we hear tonight, apply them in our lives that we could bring you praise, honor, and glory. And Lord, as always, if there be somebody in this building tonight that's not safe, God, I pray tonight be the night they get settled. God, we thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. In this story here, we see that the Israelites were getting ready to go. They go to battle, I guess, against Amalek and the Amalekites. And the Amalekites were descendants of Amalek, which was the grandson of Esau. They were a fierce tribe that lived out in the desert by the Dead Sea, and they made part of their livelihood, Brother Walton, by going out and basically raiding villages and different towns. They would go in and they would kill them, and then they would just take their loot and they would go back, and that's how they made their living. And when the Israelites came up to this, one of the greatest insults to an Israelite was to call them a friend of Amalek. That was a great insult to them back in the days. And when the Israelites entered into this region, the Amalekites saw it as a perfect opportunity. We have to understand that the Amalekites killed for pleasure. I mean, I know when I go deer hunting, I love to deer hunt. And when I bow hunt, I bow hunt for a big buck. And when I kill a big buck, it's for pleasure. But we also utilize the meat. So it's also a way that we have a resource of food. But in this case, the Amalekites, they killed people for pleasure, and they took their belongings to provide for their livelihood. And we understand that this was a fierce group of people. And to think that God could bring a victory to them by a bunch of slaves. If we understand what the Israelites were, they were in bondage all these years, and they're led out of captivity, and here they come up against them. And we see this battle that's going on, and we understand the story, and there's a principle behind this story. But that morning when Moses and Aaron and Hur went up onto the mountain, I don't think, Brother Young, that they thought or knew the significance of their place, of how important it was going to be. Because they weren't necessarily the ones, they weren't there swinging the sword. They weren't the ones in the battle. But they were up on top of the hill, and we understand the story. As Moses would hold up his hands, the Joshua and the Israelites would prevail, and as his hands would get tired, have any of you ever done that test before where you just put your hands out and you hold your hands out for a long period of time, and how long does it take to get tired and do those things? Okay, so we understand that. And his hands would get heavy. And if you think about it, this was a battle, so this took time. His hands would get tired. His hands start to go down. Then his hands would go back up, and then they would prevail. And as his hands would go down, the Amalekites would prevail. And finally, Aaron and Hur, they say, all right, we're going to sit you down on this rock. He sits down on a rock, and they end up holding up his hands. And tonight, I'm going to need a couple volunteers for what I'm going to do. But the Bible says this. In this portion of scripture, we see the humanity of Moses. You know, Moses at outdoorsman camp, there was a lot of things that were preached about Moses and referred to about Moses. And we understand that Moses spent a lot of time with God. And we understand that there was times that he came down from spending time with God up on the mountain, and they said his face shone, and he had to wear a veil while he's around the people, and the people could see that he was with God. He carried a wonderful testimony, but he was also a man, and we have to understand that he got tired. And the Bible says this, but Moses' hands were heavy. He was physically tired. But there were two men there to intercede during this battle that Israel was in, and that was Aaron and Hur. And Moses received that day, the help that he received that day allowed Israel to prevail against Amalekites. And I need two volunteers tonight if I could. But the Bible says this, Aaron and Hur stayed up and steadied Moses' hands until the sun went down. This means that these two men did not quit until the battle was over. They didn't quit till the battle was over. Just as Aaron and Hur helped Moses, we should be the same for the man of God that God has given us. Moses was chosen by God to lead Israel, and your man of God was chosen to lead this church. Okay, now I understand I'm preaching to the choir. You're here on Sunday night. This church has a lot of things in action. There's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of people involved, and that is a blessing, okay? And that's a wonderful thing. So I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but if you're just let me help you tonight, there's something in here that each and every one of us can take a part of just to help us, to encourage, to keep going for the things of the Lord. I actually need three volunteers. Brother Val, will you come up? I need you. Are your shoulders okay? You got pretty strong shoulders. I need Brother Val is going to be Moses. I need Aaron. Who's going to? How about Brother Nathan? Do you want to be Aaron or do you want to be her? You pick. Aaron, come on up. Brother Isaac, come on up. You can be her. Come on up here. Aaron's the backslidden youth pastor that, you know, compromised the word of God, you know. Listen to the people. You're going to hold both of them. So in the church, the pastor is chosen to lead the church. And he carries burdens that, you know what, there's some things we can't take from a pastor. My father-in-law is a pastor. And, you know, I never really realized, Brother Val, the things that a pastor carries as burdens. But there's a pastor is not a 9-to-5 job. I know there's a lot of people, they just think, well, he preaches a few messages during the week. He does a few visits, goes soul winning. But a pastor's job is 24/7. He's consumed with it. And if you think about a pastor's job, not only does he have to raise his family and keep a balance there and keep things in check, but he's also watching out for you. He's watching out for your soul. He's watching out for your families. He's worried about the community and the state that it's in. There's so many things that a pastor carries. And if you're just, you know, hold that up. So I'm going to use bottles of water for weight to be put in these hands. But, you know, and you can put your hands up. So we're saying this is soul winning. Your pastor's worried about the souls of the community, and he's worried about your families, and he prays for your families. And some of these things, folks, we can't take from the pastor, and he doesn't want you to take from him. But there's a lot of things that a pastor carries. He carries, how about the bus ministry? How's that community? How are we doing on the bus ministry? And we're going to go there. He's worried about your family and, you know, is there things that the family needs? Are there needs that maybe somebody in the church, a lost loved one, he's got funerals he's got to preach and hospital visits that he's got to preach. And he's got to, is it getting heavy yet? A little bit. Yeah, it's getting there, right? There's things that your pastor, you know, here's the thing, folks. Every week, he's got to have food for you, okay? Every week, he's got to have food for you. He's got to keep his life pure. In this day and age, that's not easy, okay? You guys can start to help his hands. I don't want Brother Val to lose his shoulders. But there's things that a pastor, the man of God, carries. And if I didn't have these men here as Aaron and Hur to help Moses, Moses's hands would be extra tired, because that's not a ton of water. But you all understand, when you keep your arms out like this and now you add weight to it, you're a pastor, carries burdens 24/7. He carries a load of weight on him, and he does it willingly. Do you understand that? God called him, and he willingly surrendered to go do that. And what I want to try to help tonight, and I know this is a good church. I know that you take care of your pastor. I know that you take care of people here, and I totally understand that. But I just want to bring some things out tonight of how we can do things to lighten the load of our pastor, okay? Will you just bear with me for a few minutes tonight? Okay, you gentlemen, you can sit those bottles of water down. Appreciate your help. But when we think about the job of a pastor and all that he has to do, and like I said, I was fortunate that my father-in-law is a pastor, and I got to see firsthand the battles that they deal with, the things that they deal with. We have to understand in this story of Moses, the Israelites that he were leaving, they were a murmuring and complaining people. Everything that they did and everything God tried to do in their life, they just murmured and complained. And I know that's not the problem here. Nobody murmurs and complains here about anything. But, you know, the thing about it is we have to understand that the pastor deals with stuff. Brother Young, he deals with stuff that you don't even know about. Brother Nathan, he deals with stuff you don't know about. I know this firsthand because I was in that pastor's home. I didn't grow up in a pastor's home, but I was there. And there's things in that a pastor deals with and knows that nobody else knows about. Some of you know it because you've counseled with a pastor before and you've told him things in secrecy. And you know something, brother? He has to keep those things. There's things that a pastor doesn't tell his wife. Not that he's keeping something from his wife, but it's a burden that she doesn't have to carry. It's a burden she doesn't need to worry about. I don't want to keep anything from my wife. She's my best friend. The burdens that a pastor carries, and they carry it willingly, things we can't take from them, Brother Young. Burdens you can't take from them. You can't take praying for the whole church. You can join in on praying for the whole church, but it's that's his burden and his love and his desire and his compassion that he has. That's why God made him the pastor of the church, because he knew he would be faithful in these things. But I want to share a few things with you tonight that we can do to lighten the load of the pastor. Number one, we can shoulder responsibilities, okay? We could, just like we saw with Aaron and her, we saw Brother Bow up here, we saw Aaron and her, and they were shouldering those responsibilities, okay? Many of the responsibilities of the pastor we cannot take, but there are many things that we can help with. We understand, you know, just a few weeks ago, the week before Outdoorsman Camp, we were down here at Bethel, and we were trying to get a bunkhouse up. We were hoping to have it to a point where it was a little bit more finished. It was under roof, but it was not leak proof. We found that out. So when they did the roof paper on top, they just ran it up to the peak. We ran a piece over it. Long story short, synthetic roof paper leaks. Okay, so but there was, I think on day one we had 13 people there. And I'm not used to 13 people. And you had all these people. And I spent more time just trying to find stuff for people to do than I did actually working. But you know what? Many hands make light work. You know what was a blessing? There was a whole pallet there of 2x4 9-foot pre-cuts. And I didn't have to carry any of them, Brother Nathan. There was young guys there. And they're, you know, they go over and pick up 10. You know, they want to prove to you. I'm like, do it. Do it, buddy. Carry 15. Come on, you can do more. You know, I used to do all that stupid stuff when I was younger. And now that my knees hurt, my hips hurt, my back hurts, I realize I was stupid doing that stuff back then. Pick up 4 and move, you know, go a little bit quicker. But I wasn't going to argue. I didn't have to touch them. Many hands make light work. And we can all do things to be faithful. And let me just share a few things with you. These things will help lighten the load, the burden of your pastor. Number one is we need to be faithful in soul winning. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, 20, God commands us to go out and teach the nations and to baptize them and to disciple them, to teach them to do the things that we can. You know what will be a blessing your pastor? When he doesn't have to look around when it's soul winning times and go, are they going to be here tonight? Be faithful to those things. When he can rely on you, Brother Nathan, you're going to be there for soul winning time. When he can rely on you to go follow up and do some visits. We have a thing in our church. We have an app on our phone that it's called People. And People or People, something like that. So if you come to church and you're a visitor, you fill out a visitor card. They take it back there. I'm just telling you what I know of this because I couldn't do it if you wanted me to, Brother Young. My wife is the millennial. I give her the technical stuff and say, make it happen. Me, I barely know how to turn my iPhone on. So the bottom line to the whole thing is you fill out this form. They take it back to the office. They load it onto the computer. And then on Thursday night or Saturday when we're out, as many times my pastor say, do you have visits? If you don't, I have a couple I'd like you to do. And then we go follow up with those people. And that lightens the load of the pastor when he can rely on people that are going to go give sound advice to somebody and do that. But when he doesn't have to look around, wonder, are we going to reach this community this month or not? Because he knows you're going to be faithful. That lightens a burden from the pastor. There is nothing. Listen, you when you go to church and you see 30, 40, 50 people there on a Saturday morning to go out and do bus visitation and soul winning, that's a blessing to a pastor. Because every fundamental gospel, Bible preaching church is a soul winning church. If you're right with God and you're doing it doctrinally, you are a soul winning church, okay? It's just not for the pastor and the staff. It is for all of us. God has commanded us to do it. Some of these things, Brother Nathan, are just simple obedient things. If we would just be obedient in the things that God has commanded us, it will lighten the load of the pastor. Secondly, just be faithful to church. These are basic elementary things, but so many times they're taken for granted. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of such is, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. He shouldn't have to wonder, is Brother Isaac going to be here tonight for church?
Right. Amen.
Is Brother Morris going to be here? Shouldn't have to wonder that.
Right.
You know, you shouldn't have to look around the church and go, is there enough guys here in dress shirts and ties to take up the offering tonight?
Yeah.
Be in your places, folks. It lightens your pastor's burden. When you know what? Our role in our church is pretty much this. If you miss a church service, we're going to text message you or call you. If you miss two services, somebody's going to visit you. And if you miss three services, somebody in the pastor's going to visit you. If you start missing church and the pastor's going to come visit you, you have become a burden to that, okay? Because you have a lack of obedience to the Word of God and you're not faithful to church. Maybe you're a new Christian. You don't know all that. You know how that works as of being faithful to church? That means every time the church doors are open and we're having a church service here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you should be here. It took a little while for me to get that after I got saved, that Sunday school was important. And, you know, I grew up Roman Catholic. They had Saturday night service, so you could go out and have a picnic on Sunday. You just go to church on Saturday night. Doesn't that sound good? So, you know, I'm thinking we have Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. Just got to make one of them, right? It took a little while for me to understand, you know. They say three to thrive. I think you need four to grow. You need four for more. You need to be there Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, okay? And if you're right with God, you ought to be there for soul winning. You ought to be faithful in those things. Find that place. Just say, you know what, I ain't going to miss church. I'm not going to allow things to keep me from church. It just seems, listen, folks, we talked about it earlier. What are you willing to stand for? You know what? My family, after I got saved, well, they were going to have birthday parties on Sunday. I made them mad, brother. I didn't go. I'm not going to go.
Good.
I'm not going to miss church because you want to have a birthday party on Sunday afternoon. I'm going to be in church.
Amen.
You want to have family reunion? Boy, I only get to see them once a year. God understands me less than one Sunday. Okay. Next time you need him, maybe he'll miss answering that prayer.
Come on,
amen.
Amen.
It's
good. Yeah.
Don't take vacation on God.
Amen.
Don't take vacation on God. Be faithful to church service. You see, Brother Rex, this is elementary. I get it, but it's getting quiet.
Amen.
Because there's some of you that have not ingrained this in there. That's why it's getting quiet.
Amen.
You know, how about this one? We're just go ahead and we're just jump to this one. How about amening the preacher while he preaches?
Amen. Amen.
Got a few more that time. In 1 Chronicles 16:36, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen. Your lack of amen show your lack of time you spend in the Bible. I'm just not that way. Let's sit down and watch your favorite sports team together.
Come on, man.
About a year ago, Jason and I, you know, there's really not like ball teams around here, anything like that. And I wanted something for him and I to do something together. So we were at a Casey gas station on a Friday afternoon, a big truck and a hauler pulls in, and these guys get out, and you can tell they had like racing shirts on. I said, "You guys racing somewhere tonight?" He's like, "Oh yeah, it's the Bill Gardner Classic up Putnamville, racing sprint cars up there." I'm like, "Oh yeah." He's like, "Yeah, it's tonight, tomorrow night, it pays big money." I'm like, "Man, what, people been talking about doing that." I said, "Man, we'll come up tomorrow night." So Jason and I went up to it, and you know what, Brother Young, I sat down, and I knew nothing. I mean, I was a NASCAR fan for years, but I knew nothing of how sprint cars work. So I'm asking people, what's going on here? What are they doing? What's this? What's that? And now I can tell you just about anything about the teams, the guys that we follow. We follow a guy from Princeton, Indiana. That's the main guy that we would root for. And I could tell you all kinds of things about it. And you know what? We get excited about it. But I'm not going to get more excited about some guy driving around on dirt going real fast, which is really cool, more than I am the things of God. You know what I found out? When you get in the Word of God and you see it, and when the preacher says something, it stirs something in you to get involved. And that's our way to get involved in church. You know what? When I've been to churches, Brother Young, where nobody says amen. And you're like, "Oh my goodness, what is going on? I'm laying the biggest egg I've ever laid," and blah, blah, blah. And it's a discouragement. But when your preacher gets up and starts preaching, I always tell the boys at Outdoorsman Camp, I say there's two times you say amen. You say amen when you agree with everything the preacher says, and you say amen when he steps on your toes. Because if he gets quiet, he parks. Right. Makes you feel more uncomfortable. That's the Holy Spirit. He leads you to say some more. Listen, folks, try it just sometime. We're doing this at camp. We're saying, "All right, this side, say amen. Everybody say amen." They say amen. I'm like, "Come on, that's pretty lame. How about this side?" And we go back and forth. We didn't do that this year, but normally I do that. But you know what? Just try it sometime. Just try it sometime. Your wife might look over at you and go, "What happened to you?" I spent a little time in my Bible this week. I agree with what the pastor's saying. That's the purpose of the amens. It's fun. You ought to try it sometime. Be faithful to your tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. And God talks about a man robbing God. This always gets them quiet when you start talking about money. There's two things that will make people quiet. You start talking about money, start talking about dress standards. It will normally make it that you can hear a pin drop. But that's okay. I'm all right with that. It's God's word, so I'm just going to obey it. When we're faithful to doing our responsibility, God says, where hath a man robbed God? By tithes, and your tithes and offerings, okay? A tithe, and I'm preaching in the choir. A tithe is the commanded 10% from God. The offering is what you pray about for missions, for special speakers, for different conferences. So maybe the church is going to do a building project and they say, "Hey, we're going to take up an offering to redo the roof. I want you to pray about what maybe God would have you to give." That's your tithes and your offerings, okay? You know, your pastor has to sit down and make up a financial budget for the year. And they pretty much look at the end of the budget and go, "Okay, I haven't made anybody mad and they haven't left. And hopefully you don't leave after tonight. Come back next week for your pastor." So the point of it is it's a blessing to the pastor when he can rely on you being faithful to your tithe.
Right. Yes. Right. Yes.
Amen. When you put into, do you all do faith promise missions here? No? So we do faith promise missions. So Faith Promise Missions, and I really like it because it's really helped my faith. But Faith Promise Missions, you pray about a number that God would have you give towards missions. And it's a good thing to do, even if you don't have it as church-wide. You ought to pray about what God's going to have you give to missions. So this is the amazing thing, Brother Morris, is about these offerings The offerings, Brother Nathan, are not in your Dave Ramsey envelopes of your money. Right. Okay? Brother Young, it's not money that you... I got this much left that I can give. The thing about missions that I love about giving offerings is God normally lays a number on your heart that you don't have. You don't have it. But he tests your faith to see if you trust him, and it will grow you to understand that he'll provide for you. Brother, when we moved here, our church does that. We have faith promise missions. And when we moved here, you know, my father-in-law's church, it was just, missions were just something that you gave above and beyond, and the church supported out of what they had. But when we moved here, it was done a little bit differently. You give on a weekly, monthly, or whatever, yearly basis. So when we moved here, Nathan, I told my wife, I said, you know, this is the number we're going to start giving to missions that God laid on my heart. She's like, okay. And ladies, you know, it's a wonderful thing when your husband says this is what God wants us to do and you go along with it. It's a blessing to your husband. You're lightening his load and you're not discouraging the faith that he's trying to have in God. So it's a wonderful thing when your wife does that. So we gave it, and Brother Young, the bottom fell out of us financially. I mean financially bottomed out. And then we just continued to press on. We continued to press on. But God had already showed us some things by us being faithful to our tithe. So then we get to the next year. And, you know, there was times we were tough. There was things that we couldn't afford. And then all of a sudden, God does something almost as a reward. Well, then the next year, he doubled that number. Then the next year he added to it again, and then he added to it again. And Brother Young, it's money. You know what? It's not always been easy. There was times, Brother Nathan, we got behind. I was able to buy a couple years ago. I don't know if you remember. I bought a car trailer, and I found it on Facebook Marketplace, and it was like dirt cheap. And I'm like, this can't be real. I told my wife, I'm gonna buy this. She said, well, I thought you were saving for something else. I said, yeah, but this is like, this thing's really super nice. I'm going to buy it. Brother Young, I didn't realize what God was doing, okay? But I bought that trailer. I only used it a few times. I thought, this is stupid. I'm not paying to title this and do all this when I only use it a couple times. I can rent one for $50. So I decided, things got tight after Christmas. Well, I got behind like 2 months on my missions giving. So I listed this thing on Facebook Marketplace, and it sold. And it sold for $800-$900 more than I paid for it. And I was able to give the man that came to buy it, that was dying of cancer, the gospel in my driveway. And then I got caught up on my missions. You say, well, Brother Rex, you had to sell a trailer. But God allowed me to buy that trailer, make money off that trailer, to be faithful to my missions. You folks, you just got to look at things differently. It's not your money. It's his money. Amen. It's his. He allows us to keep 90%. He just asks for some extra things. You ought to try the praying about those things, about what God would do, have you do on some of these things, because it's amazing what you see God do. Brother Nathan, and you know this, you and I have been friends for the last several years. You know there's been times and it was a struggle and there was financial difficulties and things. But in the last 2 years, Brother Young, I've seen God do miraculous things financially for us that I can't even explain, except for God allowed us to go through some hard times to test our faith if we'd be faithful in the things that we promised God we would be faithful and the things that he commanded us to be faithful, and allowed God to say, okay, I'm going to show him that I'm real in these situations. But when we're faithful to the things, the responsibilities we're supposed to, our pastor doesn't have to worry about whether you're going to keep the light bill on this month, or how you're going to fix this, or how you're going to take care of that. How are we going to buy things? How are we going to fuel the buses? How are we going to do this? Just be faithful to the things you're supposed to be faithful financially, and just watch how God blesses those things. When your pastor does not, and listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir, But when your pastor does not have to worry, is Brother Morris going to put his tithe in this month or not? Because our tithes, listen folks, if you have the same amount of people being faithful, your general offering shouldn't go to $10,000 to $4,000 from month to month. If anything, it should be growing because you're bringing more people into the church. And you say, well, Brother Rex, it's not about money. It takes money to run the buses, right? It takes money to fix those buses, right, Brother Val? It takes money. I know you all do so much for your bus kids. It takes money to do that stuff. It takes money to pay the lights. It takes money to update things and keep things going. Hey, it's summertime. It's going to be 90-something degrees next Sunday. You're all big shouting when you're in an air-conditioned church. But it takes money to do that stuff. And when you're faithful to those things, it lightens the load. Just be an encouragement. And get to know your pastor. Let me share a few of these things, and then I promise you I'll wrap it up. Get to know your pastor. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, and we beseech you, brethren, he's talking, you understand? He said, brethren, he's talking about to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Get to know your pastor. I know you folks, you love your pastor, you do a lot of things. Get to know him. When you get to know your pastor, you will carry the burdens that he carries, okay? Maybe there's some people you haven't been here that long, okay? If you get to know your pastor a little bit, what makes him tick, you'll understand why he does stuff. You'll be a lot less likely to be critical if you get to know your pastor. Brother Nathan, if you and I never spend any time together, we could be very critical about one another very easily. But when you spend time with somebody, you understand what makes them click. You understand a little bit more and you oversee a few things, some mistakes, some errors.
Yes.
Esteem them. 1 Thessalonians 5:13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. To esteem them as a high value, a great regard, favorable. Don't put your pastor above God or make him one, but keep him in a high regard. He watches for your soul and he cares and he's concerned for you and he carries those burdens 24/7. Don't take that lightly. Count them worthy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Your pastor is not looking for honor. He doesn't do it for honor. He doesn't do it for reward, for any kind of earthly thing. But you know what, folks? We ought to bathe them in these things. It does not have to be, Brother Young, it doesn't have to be a financial gift. You don't have to buy your pastor anything. You can make him a card and just say, preacher, I appreciate you staying the course and being faithful, and encourage them. Encourage them in those ways. Give them those cards. Let them know that you love them and you care about them. Text them, I'm praying for you today. That will help. Actually do it too. Pray for them. It will help you. Lighten their load, but show them you care. Don't take them for granted. Don't take them for granted. Folks, let me tell you this. I've seen this time and time again. The pastor's gone. He goes. And a good church like this one, the next thing you know, it's 17 people. What you all have here isn't everywhere. I will promise you it's not everywhere. Don't take it for granted. Follow their faith. Hebrews 13:7, remember them. It's getting quiet. You're all ready to go home. I guess it's not maybe that it's working on you. But remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. The vision of the pastor will transpire in the vision of the people. A church that follows their pastor will follow his faith. You will see it. When Brother Danny Farley has preached our missions conference a couple times. He's coming back this time. First time I ever heard him, Brother Young, preach was at the Revival Fires National Conference, and he preached on missions. And he said, this was all my 2012, maybe 11, 12. I was up for it one of the first times, and he preached. And he had just had a missions conference at his home church, and his home church raised over $1 million to give the missions. I mean, when you think about that, $1 million to give the missions, okay? What an incredible thing that happened. But he received 100 emails that next month from pastors wanting to know, how did you get your church to give $1 million for missions? And he summed it up real easy. He said, you double what you're given and your people will double what they're given. There's nobody in the church who works harder than your pastor. Follow their faith. Be a hard worker. Get involved. Stay involved. Stay the course. Continue to plow it out. Don't take those things for granted. Number five, submit to them. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable to you. Let me help you with this. Young guys, if you don't ever learn to follow, you'll never be a leader.
Amen.
Never be a leader. If you can't follow and you can't take orders, you will never be a good leader. Submission is a tough word, but it's really not that tough when you're willing to follow your pastor, when you pray for your pastor and you do those things and your pastor is a man of God and he's leading you according to God's word. It's really not that hard, but it just takes submission. But the problem of it is, Brother Morris, most churches always have those certain groups that want to buck everything the pastor's doing. It's a lack of submission. You're not willing to follow. My theory to that is, if you don't like your leading of your pastor, get yourself a Bible and go get yourself a church and try to lead that church, because you're going to have a church full of people just like you. And you will be miserable. They have to give an account for us, brother. You say, well, I just don't agree with everything he does. I don't agree with everything my pastor does. But I know that he walks with God. I know that he prays. I know that he seeks God's face. And as he leads, I have to trust that his leading is from God, and I'm going to do it. Now, I'm not talking if it's an unscriptural thing, and you're not going to worry about that here. But the thing about it is, I'm talking about there's just decisions. We've gone ahead with projects that I didn't think we should do. But I voted yes for it. Because my pastor felt that was the thing we needed to do at the time. And he's the one God placed over the church. So I'm going to follow him. I'm going to submit to his leading. Amen. It will do you some good, folks, just to submit to it. Amen. Lastly, number three, pray for them. Amen. We talked about it earlier, pray for them. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. You know what? I said it this morning in Sunday school. If you will pray for your pastor, I promise you, if you will seriously pray for your pastor, the sermons will have messages for you.
Amen.
They will. All of a sudden, you'll be like, wow, I needed that. How did he know that? Pray because you were praying for your pastor and God knew what you needed, so he gave it to your pastor.
That's good. Amen.
It's amazing. When you pray for your pastor, pray his messages from God will feed you. When you pray for your pastor, you won't struggle submitting to him. When you pray for your pastor, you won't have a problem following them. When you pray for your pastor, you will count them worthy of double honor. When you pray for your pastor, you will esteem them. And when you will pray for your pastor, you get to know them. Listen, folks, the thing about when we pray for somebody, it's amazing, Brother Nathan. Somebody starts getting under your skin, you start to pray for them. It's not as bad as it used to be.
Yes, that's right.
It is. Prayer breaks boundaries, I promise you, because it has God intervene in a situation, but it tenders your heart. It's easy. It's easy for you to pray for somebody that you love. a church that is unified in prayer. Yeah, here's the thing, folks. Do you all have like a church directory where the members are on there? Get it sometime and start on that list and go through it praying for it. Many pastors that I know come into their church, and they're coming into this church and they're sit right here, and maybe it's Brother Isaac sits here, and they're sit down in that pew and they're bow their head and say, Lord, I just pray that you bless Brother Isaac and his family this week. God, watch over his family. God, help him. Help his dear children, God, to follow him and to be submissive, and God, to get saved one day. And I know many of pastors that do that.
Right.
Pray for him. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your church. See what God will do in your life, but in your church's life. Folks, so what you have here is very special. It's very special. Don't take for granted what it is. Be faithful to the simple things. It's a bottom shelf type of message. Very simple things that God has commanded us and we know to do. But let's look at it from a different light, that when we do these things, we're not only being faithful to God and obeying God, but we're helping lighten the load of our pastor.
That's good, right?
Don't burn them out before he's ready to be burnt out. You think about the book of Samuel. There was Eli, and he was down the hall, and the Bible says that the air, the lamp of God, was burning out. It was going out. Why was it going out? Maybe because his boys were a mess?
Right.
Don't be the thing that drags your pastor down, that he says, time to retire. I've had enough. And they should. Just think about the things that we can do and our responsibilities to be responsible, to lighten the load of our pastor, and to do those things. And folks, it's just simple obedience to the things that God has already commanded us to do, that so many times we take for granted, but it lightens the load of our pastor. Be an encouragement to him. Pray for him. Do those things. Don't take it for granted. Listen, folks, it's real easy for us to, we go through trials, we go through tribulations, we go through problems in life, to get our eyes focused on ourselves. And it's during those times that you need to stay faithful, because it's staying faithful. Think about the story of Job. Job said, I look to the front, he's not there. I look to the right, I'm giving you my version. I look to the right, and I can't behold him. I look to the left, where he does work, and he's not there, blah, blah, blah. He couldn't find God anywhere. But he made this statement. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It's getting through those hard times and being faithful through the hard times that you get to see God do miraculous things. I could sit here, Brother Young, and for an hour and testify about things that I've seen God do since December of 2019, when we were going through one of the worst times in our family's life, the 19 and 20, some of the most trying times in me and my family's life. But we stayed faithful. And from that point where God sent us through that trial and through those tribulations, and we stayed faithful, God said, I'm going to reward you a few things. Just stay faithful. Be faithful to lighten the load of your pastor. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Brother Rex, I'm here tonight and I'm not 100% sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Brother Rex, I would like to know that. I am not 100% sure of that, but I'd like to know that. Maybe you're here tonight and that would be you. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for the invitation. And when I pray for the invitation, if that's you here tonight, and you're not 100% sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven, I'd like you to slip your hand up, because in just a moment, I'd like to pray for you. If you're here tonight, you're not sure that you're going to heaven, but you'd like to know that, would you just slip your hand up? And I won't call you out. I just want to see your hand. I want to pray for you here in just a moment. Now, I can't pray you into heaven, but I can pray for you that God will show you that direction. Is there anybody like that tonight? You'd slip your hand up, say, Brother Rex, that's me. I am not sure that heaven is my home. Anybody like that here tonight? Anybody? You just slip your hand up very quickly and put it back down. All right.
All right. Christian, let me ask you this tonight. Are you faithful in the things that you ought to be faithful to? Do you look at your responsibilities as a Christian and realize when you stay faithful to the things that you're supposed to, how it lightens the load of your pastor? How about you tonight?